community by Harry Venning and David Ramsden. Episode 5, The Scapegoat.
Oh, good night, Brian. Oh, come on, Brian. Surely you're not still sulking.
I'm not sulking, Claire. I'm upset.
I suppose I'm going to have to ask what about?
Well, I'm tired of you making me feel bad about myself.
I'm sorry, Brian, but that is an insinuation that I strongly, strongly refuse. There's nothing that I can say or do to make you feel bad about yourself. Any bad or negative feelings that you have about yourself were already within you. Do you see? Do you understand? Do you see the distinction?
Well, I'm not sure that I do see
the... Oh, come on, Dimmer. It's not rocket science. Good morning, Mr. Woodgate.
What's so good about it?
Oh, dear. Something the matter?
Yes, there is. I'm very upset.
Why is that?
I'm 102 years old, Miss Barker. My health is not good. Death may come for me tonight, maybe the next. The time remaining to me on Earth is measured in days, possibly weeks, not months or years.
Yeah, well, reflections on mortality can often be emotional.
Well, it's not that.
What is it?
That flaming cinema. Before they sold me a ticket to The Hobbit, they could have told me it was part of a sodding trilogy.
Excuse me, could you open the door for me?
Oh, of course. Oh, you know, this office could be a lot more user-friendly for disabled people.
I'm sorry, Megan, what did you just say?
I just said this office could be a lot more user-friendly for disabled people.
This gentleman is not disabled, Megan. He is a person with a disability. There's a huge difference.
No, there isn't. It's just semantics.
No, it's nonsense. The term disabled defines the person solely by their disability.
I'm sorry, but could you open the door for me?
That's all right, in a minute. Whereas the term person with a disability, whilst identifying differently abled status, acknowledges that on every other level they are a fully functioning human being.
Look, I'm in a bit of a hurry.
Once again, Claire, you missed the point entirely. I was just talking about the limitations of the building and you turn it into a discussion on language.
But the words that we use are important.
Just open the door for me.
I can't believe I'm hearing this, you guys. Pack in the discussion this second and attend to the request of the customer.
Oh, thank you.
Customer?
Yes, customer. That's what he is.
This isn't the Tesco's checkout. It's a social work office and we have a unique relationship with the people who use it.
Yeah, all right. Okay, so what would you call
him? I would call him the service user. We offer services, he uses them.
Can someone open the door?
I quite like client.
Oh, client.
Client?
Okay,
terrible.
Client suggests a power imbalance.
No, I'm sorry, but I only bought it a fortnight ago. It's already covered in dents. The legs are twisted. Excuse me, I have to put you on hold. You ungrateful twit!
Is there a problem, Megan?
I'm getting grief from the dyspraxia support group. I mean, I'd like to lend them my flip chart, but they keep accidentally bumping into it. Hello, are you still there? No, I'm sorry, it's going to have to be a no. You wanted to talk to me, Claire?
Yes, Megan. It's about your over-80s drop-in group.
I know what you're about to say, and I have told them. I've told them over and over and over.
Well, you're just going to have to tell them again. There is no racing of mobility scooters in the car park.
I know, but they've got nowhere else to go since the kids kicked them off the skateboard ramp.
I'm sorry, Megan. Health and safety.
All right, listen up, guys. I've just come off the phone from Mr. Needham, and he is not happy.
When is he ever happy?
Yeah, well, it's our job to make him happy. Isn't that right, Helen? Helen, go on. Helen.
Oh, I may have had my eyes shut, but I was thinking, okay?
Yeah, okay, what about?
10 years I've been a social worker, and I still don't know if it's what I want to do.
What? Well, why don't you try doing some?
Oh, give it a rest, will you, Libby? I've had enough.
Yeah, enough of what?
Well, since you ask, these constant insinuations that I don't pull my weight.
I do not insinuate any such thing. I just pointed out that Aboriginal Australians make no distinction between waking time and dream time.
And when you're at work, Helen, neither do you.
You see?
Also, when other people talk about being in their comfort zone at work, they are speaking figuratively, whereas you've actually built yourself one.
There you go again.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that Helen is lazy.
Watch out, everybody.
Oh, I have to say that one for later. All right, what is it, Ray?
We are about to suffer a visit from Mr. Needham.
Oh, he's only just got off the phone.
Well, I can do without needy bastard Needham right now.
Hey, Helen! Helen, I want you to cut that out now. Every client who walks through that door seeking support and assistance is entitled to our every courtesy, professionalism and respect.
Well, we'll send him through to you then.
I'm in a meeting.
Right! Who do I complain to?
Okay, guys, we haven't got an actual bathtub yet, so we'll just have to put two chairs together. Trudy.
Brian?
It's 4 o'clock.
Well done, Brian. You've learnt to tell the time.
Yes, we have the school rehearsal room booked for 4 o'clock.
Yes, but we're not finished yet.
This happens every week, Trudy.
Yes, because my production is on next Thursday. Yours isn't for 2 months.
A booking is a booking.
Quite apart from the fact that my productions sell out and nobody comes to see yours.
OK, Trudy, I didn't want to have to get my piece of paper out, but here it is. Rehearsal room, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m, Mr. Harris and Drama Club. Rehearsals for the persecution and assassination of Jean-Paul Marat as performed by the inmates of the asylum of Charenton under the Marquis de Sade.
Is that what you're doing?
Yes.
We're doing Annie.
Not today, you're not. Not after 4 o'clock.
Give me that piece of paper.
This comes from the head of department herself.
So where is her signature?
Well, after I'd written out the title of the play, there wasn't room.
In which case, Brian, it's worthless.
You've torn up my paper!
OK, everybody, hard knock life from the top.
It's hard knock life.
Now, stop, stop, stop! Stop it! Stop it now! I have this space booked for the rehearsal of the persecution of Jean-Paul Marat as performed by the inmates of the Asylum of Charenton under the direction of the Marquis de Sade, and it is the persecution of Jean-Paul Marat as performed by the inmates of the Asylum of Charenton under the direction of the Marquis de Sade that we will rehearse.
Finished?
Yes.
From the top.
Oh. It's a hard knock life.
Will you orphans be quiet? Okay, Trudy, you win this time, but I'm telling you now, things are going to be very different around here next term when Valerie retires and I get the head of department job.
Oh, dear Brian, haven't you heard?
Heard what?
They offered it to me last week. Never mind, Brian. The sun will come out tomorrow.
I hear what you're saying, Mrs. Collins, and I understand your predicament. No, I do. Well, there's no need to be abusive. I'm going to put you on hold. You seeping wound of malevolent pus! You still there, Mrs. Collins? Good.
What's going on, Helen?
Oh, hold on a second, Claire. Helen, go lightly. Sparrowhawk Family Centre. Hello, Mr. Norris. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Can I just put you on hold? Actually, I'm not sorry at all. I hate your guts, and I hope you die.
Still there, Mr. Norris? You were saying... Oh, just putting you on hold.
Up your bum.
Megan, what's happening?
It's a new game that we're playing. I invented it. On the phone this morning, it occurred to me that by simply pressing the mute button, you can freely abuse unpleasant, aggressive or irritating clients. Helen's really good at it, and she hasn't answered the phone in months.
Has everybody gone mad? Oh, far from it. This is extremely beneficial to my mental health.
But why are you abusing the clients?
I'm sorry, I don't understand.
OK, I know why you're abusing them, but what about your duty of care?
Well, I don't care about our duty of care.
Besides, all we're doing is vocalising thoughts that we have all the time, and it's very cathartic.
Oh, go on, Claire, have a go.
No, thank you. It's infantile.
Too infantile?
Don't knock it till you've tried it, Claire. Well, here's your chance. Sparrowhawk Family Centre. OK, I'm just going to put you on hold for a second. It's Mr. Needy Bastard Needy. Oh, I'll do it.
No, no, me. I want to take it.
No, this one's for Claire. For Claire. Come on, Claire. You know you want to.
Oh, well, Why not? It's team building.
There you go.
Hello, Mr. Needham. Yeah, I'm sorry to put you on hold. How can I help?
He's good.
Oh, yes, yes, the agency cleaner. Yes, I appreciate your frustration, but all we do is book her. No, no, I'm not trying to fob you off. I'm just going to put you on hold for a second. Listen to me, Needham, or shall I call you Mr. Needy Needham, because that's what we call you in this office.
Inadequate.
You're moaning old twit.
Here is a thought. Instead of chucking around blame and making everyone's life a misery, why not channel your energies into something constructive instead, such as behaving as a responsible adult and taking control of your own life.
Stick it to him, Claire.
Come on.
So what do you think of that, Mr. Needy Needham?
I cannot believe you just said that to me.
Oh my God! What's just happened?
Claire, I think you pressed speakerphone instead of mute.
There you go, Simon. Pint of unpronounceable Czech lager in a glass that looks like a flower vase. Plus a packet of sea salt and balsamic vinegar crisps.
Aren't you having anything?
I can't afford to.
Well, you have the crisps.
Thanks.
Why are we in this pub? Why don't we go to the Crafty Fox with the rest of the staff?
Because Trudy Doyle will be there.
Calm down, Brian. You've just blown froth down my shirt.
Oh, sorry, Simon. I'm really upset and I just need to get it off my chest.
Exchange is no robbery, Brian. I'll listen to you moan about not getting the head of department job if you can tell me where Poland is.
Poland?
Yeah, I've been doing it all week with 5B in geography, and I don't think I can bluff it any longer.
Please, Simon, it's just not fair. I've been at that school...
No, Poland first.
It's between Germany and Russia. It hasn't really helped, has it, Simon? Oh, no, it's her, Trudy Doyle.
Where?
Get your head down. Damn it, too late.
Brian.
Hello, Trudy. I thought you were in the Crafty Fox.
What, that smelly old man's pub?
Hey, I'll have you know Brian likes that pub.
I'm sure he does. But it's no place for a celebration.
Ah, so the whole world knows now, does it?
What? That I'm head of the department, I'm head of the department. La, 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 la. La, 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 la.
I'm she's head of the department. She's head of the department. La, la,
Simon!
La, la.
Sorry, Brian.
Oh, well, that's it. I'm off.
Hold on, Brian.
No, Simon. Sorry, but I'm not staying here to let that woman gloat all over me. And don't try and persuade me otherwise. I'm going home.
Actually, I was going to ask if you'd leave the crisps.
Trudy Doyle! Trudy Flaming Doyle!
Good evening, Brian.
You're not going to believe this.
Can I just stop you there, Brian, and make it categorically clear that I have absolutely no interest in anything you may have to say to me?
Couldn't you pretend?
No, I couldn't.
You usually do.
I know, but not tonight, because I have had my worst day ever at work.
Me too. Is Gnarly in?
Yeah, she's upstairs putting Thomas to bed.
Gnarly! As soon as you've finished terrifying Thomas with your regional folk tales, can I talk to you?
Aren't you going to talk to me?
Talk to you about what?
Well, why today was my worst ever day at work.
Oh, go on then.
No, you have to ask me. You have to show an actual interest.
All right. Why was today your worst ever day at work?
Look, like you mean it.
Why was today your worst ever day at work?
You don't care. You were just asking me about my worst ever day at work so that I can then ask you about why today was your worst ever day at work.
I do care. I am interested. With all my heart and all my soul, I want to know why today was your worst ever day at work.
Don't want to talk about it.
Did somebody scream for me?
Yes, Gnarly, I did. Just that I've had a terrible day and I want to talk to someone about it and Claire isn't interested.
Well, let me stop you there, Brian.
Well, let me guess, you're not interested.
No, of course, I'm interested, Brian, but your welfare is of the utmost concern to me. However, I received some news today. Sad news from my village. My mother passed away this morning.
Oh, Gnarly, I'm so sorry. I don't know what to say.
Only joking. You were right first time. I'm not interested.
That's it. I'm going out.
But where are you going, Brian?
Well, I thought I'd go round.
Only joking. I'm not interested.
All right. I'm coming.
You took your time.
Brian... Look, Brian, this isn't
I
really...
I won't be long, Simon. I just need to blast some steam and nobody at home will listen.
Normally, Brian, I'd be all ears.
The thing is, I am senior to Trudy Doyle. I've been there longer and what's more, Valerie practically promised me head of department when we took the Year 7s to Stratford to see Merry Wives. Solid production, rather weak full stop. Sorry, Simon, Did I get you out of the shower?
No, not... No.
So, why have you got no clothes on? And why do you have a map of Central Europe drawn across your chest in lipstick?
Hello, Brian.
Trudy Doyle?
Simon and I were just enjoying a little extracurricular geography.
Thing is, turns out Trudy's got a friend in Poland, and, well, one thing led to another.
You spoil sport, Brian. I was just about to shade in his Balkans.
I can't believe... This is just... What I'm trying to say... Trudy, do you mind?
I'm sorry, Brian. Does my nakedness embarrass you? I've had no hang-ups around nudity since I was in a fringe production of Hair at the Bush. Which was a rather appropriate venue in retrospect.
Just put some clothes on.
Very well. Exit pursued by a bare bottom. Winter's Tale, Act 3...
Yes, scene... I know.
Brian, I'm finding this rather difficult.
Yeah, so you should, Simon. It is patently obvious to me just how low in your list of priorities our friendship is. You have fallen into bed with my worst enemy without a thought for me or my feelings.
No, 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 it's not that. I'm finding it rather difficult getting this lipstick off my stomach.
Perhaps he wasn't that bothered about it.
Needy bastard Needham, let it go. Not a chance in hell.
He complains about everything. He'd definitely complain about this.
Ooh, this could turn very nasty indeed.
Well, it happened yesterday afternoon, and Libby still hasn't mentioned anything.
Claire's right. Surely she would have said something by now. For all we know, we're in the clear and worrying about nothing.
Morning, everybody. Sorry I'm a bit late.
Oh, hi, Libby.
Lovely to see you. I won't keep you long. Let's get this team meeting started.
Oh, excellent.
Right?
Yes, Libby.
I've asked the hearing impaired support group to leave the door open when they have their meetings. You locked them in again last night.
Sorry, Libby, I did knock.
Well, I think that one through, Ray.
Gotcha, right.
Helen?
Yes, Libby?
The Jewish-Muslim interfaith supper.
I know what you're going to say, Libby.
Yeah, lots of sausages left over. A little bit of homework wouldn't go awry next time.
Point taken.
Right, that's about it. Thank you very much for your time and attention.
Oh, yeah, you, excellent. Really. All right, then.
Sorry, I nearly forgot this one more thing. I made a note of it somewhere. Here it is. Gross misconduct on an unacceptable scale. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to talk about client abuse. Mr. Needham called. He was in a very agitated state. He feels rather strongly about a phone call he had with this office.
Libby, before you pass judgment, let me put what happened in context. It was the end of a tiring day. There'd been a lot of stress around. There was a palpable need for release amongst the team. And when the phone rang, well... Claire just said loads of things she shouldn't have done.
No, it wasn't just me. It wasn't just me, Helen, was it? We all did it.
Okay, so let's check whose fingerprints are on the phone.
Hang on. This isn't CSI Social Services, Helen.
Besides, Helen, you were the one that talked me into it.
That wasn't me. It was Megan.
Well, certainly not.
Yeah, all right. Okay, that's enough. Lucky for you, Mr. Needham is labouring under the delusion that it was one person acting alone. He's insisting upon a meeting with this person tomorrow. I leave it to the four of you to decide amongst yourselves who that will be.
Hubble! Hubble, you heard me! I don't care if you are playing Spartacus. Get all those children down from the fence!
Morning, Brian. Brian!
I knew thee not, old man.
It's me, Simon.
Yes, I was quoting Shakespeare. You know, the pub they named that playwright after?
You'll never let me forget that, will you?
No, nor will I ever forget or forgive your betrayal with Trudy Doyle.
I wanted to talk to you about that.
No, there's nothing to talk about.
There is, actually. There's been some developments I thought you should know about.
Developments?
Yeah, on the Trudy front. Thing is, events have moved a bit quickly since you stropped out of my flat. It's not just physical attraction anymore, Brian. We are talking full-on hearts and flowers, romantic love.
You're kidding?
Not at all. I swear on my life, it's true.
Simon, that's marvellous news.
Really?
It's fantastic. If Trudy Doyle has fallen in love with you, it means that she's in a position of extreme vulnerability. She's confused, suggestible, desperate to please. A gentle nudge from you and Trudy Doyle will drop the whole head of department thing.
Yeah, I think you might have got the wrong end of the stick, Brian. I'm the one in love. I'm in love with Trudy.
What?
It's true. I wanted to tell you because you're my best mate and I can't bear all this betrayal stuff you keep flinging at me. I love her, Brian. I can't help myself.
I don't care, Simon. I'm not interested. You tell me you're in love and that's all well and good, but does my friendship count for nothing?
It counts for everything.
You sacrificed me for her.
It doesn't have to be like this.
It does, Simon. This is the only way it can be.
Don't make me choose.
Yeah, choose, Simon. Choose between me and this woman you say you love. Nice poem in assembly this morning, Ginsburg. Well done.
Here we go. Gin and tonic for Ray, spritzer for Megan, glass of white wine for me, and for Claire, a poison chalice.
That's not very helpful, is it, Helen?
Well, come on, guys. We've got to make a decision on this. One of us is going to have to take the fall and face Mr. Needham tomorrow.
Well, it can't be me. I'm a man. Mr. Needham would have said if it was a man's voice.
Well, except for one small thing, Ray. You have a girly voice.
I do not have a girly voice.
We can draw straws. Shortest straw has to meet with Mr. Needham.
Yes, that is a fair way of doing it.
Actually, I have a problem with that as well. If we draw straws, there's no guarantee that Claire will get the short one.
Oh, what do you mean by that?
That it's all your fault.
Everyone was shouting down that phone and we don't know which bits he did or didn't hear.
It was your finger on the button.
So, the person who we choose, what do you think is going to happen to them?
It's gross misconduct, guys. It's a sackable offence.
Do you really think so?
It's a very real possibility.
I can't get the sack. I love this job.
Me too. It's what I am.
Well, I certainly can't. This is my life.
Well, I hate the job and I hate the clients, but I love the idea of a big financial kiss-off when I'm made redundant, so I certainly can't get the sack.
It's always about the principle with you, isn't it, Helen?
I'll do it.
What?
I'll take the rap. Why not? I'm as complicit in this as anybody. Why shouldn't it be me?
Oh, good, that's decided. Who wants another drink?
No. We were all guilty. We should all share the punishment.
And all lose our jobs.
We are a team.
You know, I quite like Megan's idea.
What's more, we've proven that we can work as a team. Do you remember that team-building day where we all pooled our experience, expertise and creativity, and together we came up with a really good excuse not to go back in after lunch?
Secret ballot, and we vote on it.
It's a good idea.
Excellent idea.
I've got a pen.
I've got a beer mat.
You know, I really don't think we've given proper consideration to Megan's idea.
This is my office, Mr. Needham. I thought we could talk in here.
I don't care who hears me.
So, can I get you a drink, tea or coffee?
No, thank you. What I have to say won't take long.
Okay. We'll get started pretty soon. My colleague should be here any second. Come in.
Hello, Mr. Needham.
Oh, I feel terrible. Poor Claire. This job's her life. What would she do without it?
I feel really bad about this. What happened to All for One and One for All?
Well, we should have presented a united front.
Well, how do you think I feel? I was the one who suggested the secret ballot. But it was the only fair way and reflected the feelings of the team. Alas, the team chose Claire by a unanimous vote.
But it couldn't have been unanimous because I voted for you.
Did I say unanimous? I meant majority.
I voted for you as well, Helen, so it can't have been a majority either.
Well, no, you're right. It was two each, but my casting vote made it a majority.
What, so Claire voted for herself?
She must have.
It's a hard knock life for us. It's a hard
Shut up, you kids! No singing in the playground! And stop skipping!
Ryan?
I've nothing to say to you, Simon.
I think you ought to hear me out. Trudy has decided not to take the head of department job.
What?
Yeah, I thought you'd like to know. See you later.
No, Simon, come back. Tell me what happened.
I told her that due to a psychosexual quirk, I'm finding it difficult to sustain our physical relationship as she is my professional superior.
That's genius, Simon. How did you come up with that?
Turns out it's true. Anyway, I've spoken to Trudy. She's declined the position and I've promised to show her several others this evening.
Okay, Simon. I get the idea.
In the stage. Trudy is giving up drama teaching for a job in the professional theatre.
Oh, mate, I don't know how to thank you. I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, well, it's not all good news, mate. They've offered the head of drama job to Des Truscott.
They offered it to Des Truscott? He's woodwork!
that was after I turned it down. Bit of a slap round the face, I'd imagine.
Yeah, you could say that.
See you later, mate.
See you later. Oh, it's a hard knock life.
Mr. Needham, I'm not sure I understand what you are saying. You aren't here to complain about Ms. Barker.
No. Quite the opposite. I am here to thank the young lady for shaking me out of my self-indulgent torpor. For far too long, I have been stagnating in my own self-pity. What I needed was some honest, plain speaking, and that is what this brave, committed, principled young woman gave me. Channel your energies into something constructive, she told me. Take control of your own life. I tell you what, Miss Barker, I intend to do both.
Please, call me Claire.
This girl is pure gold. You take care of her.
Well, thank you for the advice, Mr. Needham. Let me get this straight. You don't feel you were subjected to any abuse?
Abuse? Certainly not.
So you didn't hear any insults? You didn't hear any swearing?
Well, yes. In the background, I could hear a bunch of foul-mouthed oiks. I assume they were the rough end of your clientele.
Well, it's not their fault, Mr. Needham. If you knew them like I do, perhaps you'd be a little bit more forgiving.
You must have the patience of a saint.
Well, it's not really for me to say.
I couldn't stand for it. I wouldn't stand for it. I was a sergeant in the army, and I didn't take any crap then, and I see no reason why I should take it now. If anybody abused me like that, I would not be forgiving. I would make the buggers pay.
Sorry to burst in like this, but we can't see Claire fired.
Yes, she may have been rude to this man, but so were we all.
It's true. We were all guilty of name-calling and shouting abuse at him down the phone, and the only decent thing is to take our punishment together. Mr. Needy Bloody Needham, do your worst.
What?
You have been listening to Claire in the Community by Harry Venning and David Ramsden, starring Sally Phillips, Alex Lowe, Nina Conti, Sarah Kendall, Richard Lumsden, Lisa Tarbuck and Andrew Wincott, with Sarah Tom, Robert Blythe and Patrick Brennan. The producer was Katie Terrell.